This is Dominic Jimenez with a Sail Sport Talk feature on the Delta Yacht Club, which was founded in 1941. The Delta Yacht Club is a family-oriented club that is the destination point for members with powerboats. Every Memorial Day, the club has a big party bash for the Memorial Day weekend. Included is a tribute at 4 p.m. on Saturday when everyone gathers to pay honor to our veterans with a story of bravery researched by member Lincoln Mitchell. Lincoln spent many years researching the stories of our brave men and women who have served America, and while he was alive, he shared two of these stories each year with the other club members and guests on Memorial Day. Now his daughter, Rebecca Mitchell Barge, continues this tradition and this year gave honor to two patriots, Lieutenant Fox of the 92nd Infantry Division, an artilleryman and forward observer, and Coast Guard Petty Officer Douglas Monroe of the 7th Marine Regiment, both of whom received a Congressional Medal of Honor posthumously. Here is Monroe's story. On September 27, 1942, three companies of the 7th Marine Regiment landed near the Matanikau River, and before the Marines were a quarter mile inland, they were surrounded, cut off from the beach, and their commander dead. They signaled for help, fought their way back to the beach, and established a tight defensive perimeter. Petty Officer Monroe was in charge of five Higgins boats, which were 36-foot mahogany landing crafts. He was ordered to recover the almost 500 Marines on the beach. As he got closer to the shore, he signaled the other boats to land and turned his broadside as a shield between the Marines and the firing guns. He opened fire with his two small boat guns to attract attention, but he eventually took a machine gun bullet in the head. His dying words were only for the Marines. Did they get off the beach? Monroe was returned to his hometown of Cle Elum, Washington for burial. The U.S. flag flew over his grave, but was not lighted. So his childhood friend and fellow veteran, Mike Cooley, took it upon himself to walk the few miles from his home to the cemetery to raise and lower the flag at dawn and dusk every day, and did so for more than 30 years. Upon Cooley's death, two Coast Guard petty officers spearheaded a campaign to erect a flagpole with lighting so that the U.S. flag continues to fly over Monroe's grave 24 hours per day. With the members of the Delta Yacht Club, let us recognize, with much appreciation and respect, the women and men, past and present, who serve and have served our country.
All right, there I am. Welcome back to Crisscross Applesauce. Sailing takes me away, as it always does, on Tuesdays at 9:40 Pacific Time with our friends at SailSportTalk.com. Karen Lyle is in studio with me. She's just back from the coronation of King Charles III.
That's right.
Yeah, because the other one was back from the Reformation a long time ago.
That's right.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
All right. So now you were invited at the In-N-Out.
Yes, I was at the In-N-Out Club, which is about three blocks from Trafalgar Square, and walking distance to Buckingham Palace.
Were you, first of all, you were in the club, which means that you're very posh and flash, and everyone loves you, and you get access. So how does the day begin? Is there an early morning brekkie, and what happens?
Yes, there's an early morning brekkie. And so you get up, and I went to the coffee room, which is the formal dining room, and they have food out instead of a buffet. They call it a trolley. It's on the trolley, but mm-hmm. it's really just on the table, right? Mm-hmm. And so usually a continental breakfast, but, you know, you can also order a full breakfast, which in London is baked beans, and the bacon that's sliced mm-hmm. more like what we call Canadian style
hashers.
Bacon. Yes, and mm-hmm. hash, and also sausage.
Or the bacons are the hashers.
The hashes.
Hashers.
Yes.
Yes.
And then we have the, what is it, tomato grilled tomato.
Tomato.
And, yes.
Yorkshire pudding.
Yes. Yes. And the black pudding. Mm-hmm. And poached eggs, of course.
Wow. Okay, so you have your, I'm vicariously like living through you. So you have the breakfast and then you're waiting on the procession to begin. Now, are you perched upon a roof? Are you looking at big screens? What?
Well, I wanted to go out and see the people actually. So mm-hmm. I just walked out the front door and in front of the In-N-Out Club, which is on St. James Square, all of the buses were parked where the people were, all the constables and the people in the parade who were, significant, were all the buses were there empty. And so I walked over to Trafalgar Square to see the news people setting up and watch the people mm-hmm. just coming in to fill up the spaces.
Were you inside the rails or, I mean, did you have to get special access?
I was staying, you know, I tend to prefer not to be in a press of people. Mm-hmm. So it was more going about an hour and a half before to see everybody setting up.
Okay, so you like a credential to get to the In-N-Out Club?
Well, I'm a member there. So
did you have to wear something?
No. Okay. They just know me.
Wow. Speaking of St. James, did you know that the ambassador to the United Kingdom from our country is not called the ambassador to the UK or Great Britain? It is the ambassador to the court of St. James. That's the official title. It's kind of cool that they still have, this is like the pomp and the circumstance that we saw, and you know, basically you're seeing everything that started, you know, more about 1066 with Norman. I mean, not Norman. with the Norman conquest, is what I should say.
Well, it's a 1,500-year tradition. And, of course, the monarchy has changed an awful lot since the beginning days when it was wars to overtake land. And
when they actually had power.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it's now a constitutional monarchy.
Yes.
And so back to the story. So after coming back into Trafalgar Square, so the inside of the In-N-Out Club was set up for festivities. And I just to give an impression of what's happening in England is all over England. There are street fairs. There are people who are gathered together in their homes, in their places, in their clubs, in their churches, and they are watching the ceremony. Mm. So if you think about 4th of July here in America or Independence Day in other countries around the world, just multiply that times about 100.
Yeah. Well, it hadn't happened in our lifetimes. And it's funny that the Premier League kept playing. Tottenham, my team, played a game in London that day. And just thought, because I remember the journalist saying, I don't even want to go down there. It's going to be a crush. But you're making it sound like, and I love Trafalgar Square. I've actually jumped up on one of the lions there on Nelson's Column a couple times.
You're one of those, right?
Yeah. It's not easy. It's like 10 feet high and you got to get a running start. And if you miss, it's going to be bad. But you're making it sound like it wasn't as horrific if you got there early.
Well, it depends upon where you are. I mean, I think, yes, there are people who stayed out 24 hours in advance to get front seats, and they were on tents and so forth. That wasn't me. I was in the private club. Mm-hmm. So my experience was a little bit different.
What time did your butler wake you up?
I didn't have a butler. No, I'm in a smallish room of the rooms that are there, so I'm privileged to have access, but I'm not royalty there. So, mm-hmm.
So when you watched, and so you got a view of around Trafalgar Square. So was there a balcony or a roof, or was it big screens?
Well, I went back to the club for the actual coronation mm-hmm. because I wanted to watch it, you know, uninterrupted, and they had large screens.
So you're watching
one of the
on TV.
Rooms, right? Okay. And so we're all watching it together.
Did you get an eyeball on the real thing?
No, but there were people in the club who were in that 2000 invited in Westminster Abbey.
Oh wow!
And so they came over afterwards, and all of their regalia,
mm-hmm. and suited and booted.
Yes, suited and booted.
Did you have a fancy hat on?
Well, you know, inside the club, we're not allowed to wear hats.
Oh, that's
so
very,
I'm inside the club.
That's
if I'd
very
been
naval.
Outside the club, mm-hmm. I would have been wearing a hat.
Do you know that's something that's the Navy is the only, well, the Marines, because they're part of the Navy, they call it your cover. And when you go inside, you have to take it off.
Right.
In the Army and the Air Force, you can leave your hat on, but you have to take off your cover if you go indoors.
Well, I was actually shopping for hats. I was looking. I love the one that Camilla had.
Yeah. You know, they say you can. You
she had a crown, actually.
You can hire. Oh, that's a good one. I like that. You can hire a hat. Like we say, rent a movie, they'll say hire a film.
That's right.
But because of the Royal Ascot and other things, you can like pay 30 quid and rent a hat.
And you can also go shopping in the consignment stores.
Ooh.
And so they have consignment stores. And I was actually looking through the consignment stores to see what kind of specialty. Because sometimes you can get things there that are no longer available but are awesome
vintage.
And cool.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just go to Savile Row. I remember going to Savile Row and seeing all the official plaques. And one of them was the official whip maker to the queen. Now, this is for riding crops, but it made it sound like she was like whipping her servants. That's what I thought was kind of funny.
Well, you know, that one of the things that I did when I was there was to be invited to the Saddler's Hall, which is the Worshipful Company of Saddlers. And that
Worshipful Company
of Saddlers. Now, they have that name because they were established prior to 1160 AD.
Wow.
In London. So they're one of the livery companies. And they call them livery companies because they were the first ones to be able to purchase land in this feudal time when it was just those who owned the land and those who worked the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were 110 companies, and those companies, a lot of them still exist, and they were the guilds. And they were the ones who bought land. So they actually financed many of the wars for the kings and are still very active in that historical square mile of London.
Mm-hmm.
And so the freemen, who are the people who have the permission to sell their trade and do their trade in the city, it's no longer exclusive. It's more of an honorary thing. But the freemen they have a dinner, and it's a big dinner. So on the 3rd, this is before the coronation, I was invited with a formal invitation to attend the dinner as a guest of Godfrey Morris. And we talked with Godfrey. And it was a beautiful event and wonderful to see the saddles and all of the leather work that they had from many different eras that were displayed there in the hall.
That's fantastic. Any other sights and sounds you can bring to us?
I went to a rugby game.
Oh.
Very first rugby game.
Did you go to London Wasps?
It was the Navy and Military rugby game. And is it a big deal?
Was it at QPR? Where did they play it?
Tewkesbury, I think it was.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, so you were at the actual rugby stadium.
Yes. And what they do is a lot of the private clubs will especially the ones that are associated with the Navy or military, will go maybe 3 hours before. So you'll get up in the morning, you'll have your bacon buddy and your mimosa, and you'll get into a bus.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a couple of buses, and then the buses line up in the parking lot, and then the staff come out and set up tables, and they have wine and beer, and we had curry. And so we have like a lunch before going there, and then everybody's socializing. You know, it's kind of like the golf course here. People are meeting and, you know, all dressed, you know, and then they go into the rugby game. And, of course, the Navy won this time. It was the first time in 13 years that the Navy won. It was actually my very first rugby game.
So it's the Royal Navy versus the Army.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I like it, bacon butty with two T's, isn't it?
Yes.
Bacon butty.
Which is basically a roll with a...
with bacon in it.
Yes, bacon
that's
in
all
it,
it,
right.
Is, yeah.
That's it. No, no dressing, nothing.
Or beans on toast. That's your choice.
That's right.
So, so you got to see a rugby match. That's very authentic.
Well, I actually was told by the members of the club in no uncertain terms that I needed to extend my ticket and go to this rugby game. And so that's what I did, and it was fantastic. I loved it.
I've never been to Australia, but I had a friend went several years ago, and I told her you should go to an Aussie Rules match. And she said, I don't even know what that is. But she did, and she said it was the best part of her whole trip. And it's just a matter of immersing yourself in some of these things to which we're not accustomed.
Well, and I think, too, the perspective from being amongst people who are in the country for whom this is their tradition and their celebration,
mm-hmm.
it's really quite moving. I mean, I found the coronation to be a moving experience for me because I was with other people for whom this is a patriotic event that mm-hmm. is traditions that have been carried on for literally thousands of, mm-hmm. you know, more than 1,000 years.
By the way, we have good diction today. I haven't noticed.
What was that?
Good diction.
We do.
Quite the grammarians. I think what it is for us, too, is that even if we're not of English heritage, because of we speak English and we grew up with their nursery rhymes and every TV show they do, we do our own version of it, that, and especially with the second invasion with the Beatles and New Wave and everything else, that even if we're not of English heritage, we sort of look at them as our parent country. And it is in our Constitution that we cannot have royal titles in this country. We were done with all that garbage. But there's a little bit of nostalgia, I think, in all of us for the pomp and circumstance and the fairy tale thing. Even though they literally hold no power, there's just something I think we Americans, we sort of still... It's just like if someone has an English accent, we assume they're smart, you know? Why? Or if someone has a Southern accent, they're dumb. That's just not true both ways.
Gracious for the Southern accent.
Yeah. Wait, can you stick around for a second?
Sure.
Yeah, you came all this way in. We'll have another 3 minutes when we come back, and we'll get one more or two more anecdotes. Is that all right?
That's perfectly fine.
All right, Rick Tittle with Karen Lyle from SalesportTalk.com. Come on back. All right, thank you for that. And well, hour two coming up. Bob Myers has stepped down. Big deal. But we have Karen Lyle of SalesportTalk.com. She was at the coronation. I wanted to know some of the stories. Do you have another anecdote for us, Karen?
Oh, the planes. Mm. That was really marvelous. Well, it was raining and it was overcast, so we didn't get the full contingency of the Royal Air Force. But all of us who were in the In-N-Out Club went outside for the plane flyover at 2:15, and the planes so we had all the helicopters coming over, and they were flying just right over the club because it was on the pathway to Buckingham Palace.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought what was a thrill for me was seeing the planes that had the smoke, the colored smoke coming
out. Yeah.
Those coming over, because all of a sudden it's silent and all of a sudden, woo.
Are those the red arrows? Is that what they're called?
Oh, they're just marvelous. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Was anyone rude?
You know, I have to say that I didn't experience that until I got home on BART. There was such a contrast because I did a lot of traveling on the underground and the overground and the buses and and the trains, and I was just amazed at how polite everybody is. It just really was quite amazing to me.
Well, I always found that England is simultaneously the most polite and most rude place because, well, first of all, BART is an absolute disaster. It's home for the mentally ill, unfortunately. Bless them. But like in England, I saw one time there was a £5 note on the subway and someone's like, did someone drop a fiver? Anyone in America, you'd be like, I got money. I was at a play where an old lady was walking down the stairs and five men ran over to help her. I asked a cop one time in Lambeth, where's the Imperial War Museum? And he walked me over to it. In America, the cop would give you the finger. But it's also a place where if you don't like the same soccer team as someone else, then they'll want to punch you even though you're not even a rival. It's this weird dichotomy. I feel more at home on the continent, really, than I do. England is very weird. I mean, I love it, but it's weird. Like Germany and France, I feel like are normal, and then England's super weird. Do you get that?
Now, I feel at home in London.
Well, I love London, but isn't it kind of weird?
It's, you know, I feel like it should be an American in London. It should be the next story, the next book that I write.
All right. Just leave the werewolf part out.
Right.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Karen. Karen Lyle, SalesportTalk.com.
Always good to see you.
.com. She'll put up her pictures from the coronation. Maybe.
I will.
I'm Rick Tittle. All right. We got two more hours. Come on back.